12, bit of towards 12, bit of fun coming up now. Everyone says we've all got a book in us, and indeed, if you actually take time to write a book, the story of your life, how do you get it published, how do you stop the publisher going bust, how do you get people to read it after you've done all the job? You can put it on the internet if you want to, you can do all sorts of things. John Foster is from Sheffield. He's just published his second book. It's a novel called Scholar's Mate. I've got it in my hand here. It's got a chess piece and blood on the chessboard, and we're going to find out what happens next to the mystery of that book. John joins me here. It's your second book. You're getting shut of it in a rather unexpected way. What are you doing?
Well, Ronnie, I went down to see the manager of the local branch of a famous national chain of books, and I left the book with him for a week. I don't think he looked at it. But when I went back to see him, he said, there's not really much point in us stocking your book. You're not famous enough. You're not J.K. Rowling or Kate Atkinson. Well, I pointed out that they perhaps once weren't famous. So I thought, I have to do something that makes an impact. If you print 500 books, it costs you a certain figure. But if you print the next 500, it only costs you a third as much. Now, Kate Atkinson, I noticed, was almost giving away a Kindle version of her new novel, 99 pence. Mm. So I thought, I could do that. I could sell. I tell myself I'm selling the second 500 for nothing. Give it to people going on journeys, who've been to restaurants that I like in the area. Sheffield people, because it's a book set in Sheffield. I'm a Sheffield person. I've lived here nearly all my life. And I thought that was one way of making an impact.
Well, you make an impact with us, and we're going to have a bit of fun during the course of the next half hour or so. You're going down with Andy Kershaw to the railway station and trying to give away 500 copies. Is that true?
Not all this morning, yeah.
You've done a bit of it already. I don't want you to spoil the story, because interesting things happen when you do this, but we'll pick up on that when you come back. Yeah. The story Scholar's Mate itself, it's got all this chess story running through it, which I found fascinating. It's also set in the region, and it's a... It's a story about a school teacher and the past and the way in which kids turn up again. It's based on your own life story at all?
The fact that kids do turn up again, that part, yes, but the story is not a true story. People have asked me that who have read it. Is this a true story? I think it's a true story. And I said, no, I'm sorry to disappoint you. It's not a true story. I have come across the odd person who, the guy in the book, the little boy in the book here.
Yeah, George.
He is, some trauma has struck him dumb, and he remains unable to speak. Well,
He's a terrific sort of stunt as a writer, if I may say, so we want to know what he's got to say, and we're waiting for that moment. That's why we keep reading, I think, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
It was for me.
Yeah, I'm hoping that people want to turn the next page over.
He's got a few gags as well, hasn't he? It's kind of local gags that the 500 lucky people might appreciate. You went to King Edward School yourself. There was a teacher there, a big, fat, chubby teacher called Twyford. There's a Twyford in your book. Mm. Is it him?
It's based on him. I mean, the one thing that's particularly based on him is the fact that he sat on a podium at the front of the class and never moved. He taught junior French and maths, and so does this guy. He never moved. He surveyed the masses, the multitude of children in his classroom. Usually there were 30 of us. Mm. He used to keep order from the front.
There's also a Harry Brearley School. There was a real Harry Brearley. There's not a Harry Brearley School. Where is that for you?
Well, I picture it at a school I taught for almost 20 years in Sheffield, which was Carter Lodge. Those are the buildings. I've moved it, really, rather more to the centre of the city. When I was writing the story, I was always thinking of those buildings, those rooms, and some of those children as well.
And you're going down to the railway station. There's a sequence in the book, a kind of important meeting takes place between the teacher and a former pupil on the grass next to the railway station.
It's in the amphitheatre, or whatever you call it, at the back of the railway station, is where he meets the one teacher who actually, if you like, understood him or got through to him when he was at this man's school in 1970s.
Hmm. We're going to do a little bit of experimenting. I hope it works out. I hope people take the book. We'll find out whichever way around it works. Are you taking a chess set down there? Because that's a big thing in the book, isn't it?
It is. I'm not taking a chess set, no. No, I need more hands, Ronnie. I've already got a suitcase I'm wheeling along.
Oh, yeah. And it's been interesting, because I'm expecting... I would tell people one more time, there's a bloke, a bloke in a T-shirt, which is called... The T-shirt's called Scholar's Mate, a novel by John Foster. He's giving away Scholar's Mate by John Foster. If he approaches you at the station, he's giving free books and there are no catches to it.
No, absolutely not. No.
I wonder what will happen. It's BBC Radio Sheffield. We'll discover what will happen, well, a bit later on this morning.
I keep going to the river to pray, 'cause I need something that can wash out the pain. And I'm sleeping all these days.
BBC Radio Sheffield News headlines at 5:30. Gina Bolton.
A former head of counter-terrorism at MI6 says it's only a matter of time before the killer of the American journalist James Foley is identified. The militant who murdered Mr. Foley is believed to be British and possibly from London or the southeast of England. South Yorkshire Fire Service dealt with more than 140 hoax calls last year, but that was the lowest number for fire services across the Yorkshire region. The West Yorkshire Force was called out to more than 300 incidents and says each call costs around £420, using up thousands of pounds of their budget. The number of students passing their GCSEs has risen slightly, but there's been a sharp fall in English grades. The results are one of the first tests of the government's education reforms, which have affected pupils in England. And an author from Sheffield has come up with a novel approach to get his book known. John Foster's been giving away copies of his novel called A Scholar's Mate after a leading chain told him they wouldn't stock it because he wasn't well known. The weather, cloudy with a few showers for much of the day, temperatures around 16 Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit. BBC Radio Sheffield News.
Roni Robinson, BBC Radio Sheffield.
This is Paul Simon on BBC Radio Sheffield. You can call me Al. And a bit more in a moment from John Foster in Gina's News. They're giving away his books to commuters on Sheffield Railway Station.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot at redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Melly, Beer Melly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model? Now that my role model is gone, gone, he ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Daddy, and Daddy when you call. Is a foreign man. He is surrounded by the sound, sound.
cattle in the marketplace, scatterings and orphanages. He looks around, around, he sees angels in the architecture, spinning in infinity. He says, amen, hallelujah, if you'll be my bodyguard.
Simon, you can call me Al. It's BBC Radio Sheffield on GCSE Results Day. Well, a message that's coming from a listener, texter 81333, says this. Can you just remind people that not getting the results they wanted isn't the end of the world? I didn't pass much, and I go okay. But just think of where I might have been if I'd put a bit of work in. Wouldn't do for us all to be the same, though. As long as they have a dream, then go for it. I did, and here I am living it. Good luck to those with results today, good and bad. Still loving the show, says the texter. That's nice. And Kath from Chessy says, please play a bit of Status Quo for Lauren Brown, who's done well in her GCSEs. Well, Kath, we might do if you ring us up and tell us all about how wonderful she was. So that's the deal. You say how wonderful she was, we play the piece of music.
Roni Robinson, BBC Radio Sheffield.
We've been talking about writing books and how difficult it is, or how easy it is to get them published, how easy it is to get them read when they've been published. And if you're listening a bit earlier on, you'll have heard me talking to the Sheffield writer, John Foster, who was going to hand out free copies of his novel, A Scholar's Mate, at the railway station this morning. We sent our reporter, Andy Kershaw, with him to see what sort of reaction he'd get.
Well, here we are, John, on Sheffield Station. You've got your purple case with all these books and copies of... How many copies of A Scholar's Mate have you got in there?
I've only brought a box of 24 today.
And we've just met Annie Lord and her granddaughter, Shana Osborne. You've just read the first page.
Yes, I have. It's gripping. I would certainly continue to find out exactly what's going to happen in here, because it's a story of a boy with an extraordinary gift imprisoned alone in his silence. That sounds really intriguing to me.
And Shana, you read the first page coming down. What did you think to it?
It was quite catchy and I'd read more of it.
Would you? Are you an avid reader?
Yeah.
And where is our other guinea pig?
He's got to catch his train.
Oh, he's got to catch his train, has he?
And I'm sorry, but we've got to catch a train too. So
no matter. You were impressed with it and you would buy it.
I was impressed. I would buy it, yes. I live with an author, Linda Hoy. She writes in Sheffield as well. I don't know if you know her. But yeah, we read her books as well. And good luck. Really good. Thank you for that.
2011. I am on my way to number 5 Love Lane in Wakefield. Not for the first time, but this time is different. This will be the last time. And this time I shall not go through that moralising entrance. Oh, I'm intrigued.
Are you intrigued?
I am. Oh, I'm gripped.
You like psychological thrillers?
Everyone likes... Yes, I do. I do like psychological thrillers. I'm intrigued that it's set in Wakefield. I want to know a bit more about Love Lane. I want to know why it's a demoralising entrance. I've never heard that phrase before. I'm quite curious about that. But, best of luck. Gosh, self-publishing is really tricky, so...
It's a classy book, isn't it, for a self-published book?
It's not bad. It looks good. It's good cover. Good photo on the back.
It's yours.
Oh, thank you. I'll have it on the train on the way back.
Will
That's
you?
Amazing. Yeah.
But would you have bought really it, you cheapskate, if you're about
to... I would have. Yes, I would have bought it. Absolutely. I'm not going to lie to you. I would definitely have bought it.
I'm delighted. On the strength of the first paragraph.
You're not
is...
going to make any money because you've given them all away.
Oh, well.
May I take a copy? I'm a cheapskate as well, John.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
John Foster there with our Andy Kershaw, interrupting the daily lives of people down at Sheffield Midland Station and giving away his book. John's come back into the studio after that experience. Nice to hear people saying your books are gripping and how they got gripped and intrigued by the first few words of the book. What was the experience like, John?
Yeah, the writing experience.
Both, really. Yeah.
Well... First of all, I think everybody has this primeval urge for creativity, and I suppose I feel it particularly strongly. I started off writing what I thought was a short story, but it took over and it developed. It had a life of its own, and very soon I could see that it was going to be more than a short story. Mm. It was actually going to be a novel, perhaps. Mm. Something I said I would never do because the commitment is so huge. Anyway, it took its own route. I was very keen myself to see how it was going to turn out because I didn't know. I don't write a plot and then write bricks that fit into a wall. The thing was like an organic creature. And eventually I got to the point where I knew I had to round it off. And that's when I put my thinking cap on and thought to myself, you've got to bring this to a close and finish it off neatly.
Good. What about the experience of going down to the Midland Station with Andy Kershaw? Was that a good story?
He is a star. He looks into people's eyes and he can spot the sensitive, the artistic person. He did actually pick one wrong un. There was a guy with a burger who had to dash off for his train. Yeah, he was one of them.
The story of this book, and this is a very good story, how you shift books on a railway station with the local radio in tow, is a story in its own right. What about the story of getting it into print and then finding even that's not as easy as you thought?
Oh, yeah, I had a disaster, actually, Ronnie. On the day that the book was due to arrive at my house, 1,000 copies, which I was promised would be a terrific job, I got a letter from the accountants of the printing company saying that they had gone bankrupt or they were entering liquidation. Mm. So all I got was a letter. The money I'd paid them was gone. It was a shock. Something I just was not expecting. The people I was dealing with seemed to be very genuine. But maybe it turns out that they weren't quite so 24 carat as I thought they were. So I lost the money. And I thought, what do I do now? Do I give up? But I suppose I'm fairly stubborn. So within a week, I'd kind of healed up and I started looking for publishers. I wanted to do it locally, but the prices were too high. And I went eventually to the people who printed the first book, who were in Cornwall. Mm. And they did a really good job.
It is a good job, and it's here now, and everyone's saying it's a good job. They're also saying it is gripping and catching and intriguing. They're impressed by your demoralising entrance, so we look forward to that. Best of luck with it. Thanks for taking part in this little story as well this morning, John.
Oh, thank you, Ronnie.
It's been lovely. It's BBC Radio Sheffield at 17 minutes to one. The book's called Scholar's Mate. Numbers. I've been joined by little Bobette, who turns out to be in a playful mood this morning, and he's almost suggesting to me you learned nothing whatsoever.
Well, I'm just thinking back now. I've got a few things that I learned. I learned about pi r squared. Was that something to do with circles?
Can you explain that for listeners?
Pi, we're not talking about meat and potato. We're talking about this equation that is... something to do with 3.1, is it? 3.14, 3.421.
Why would that be then?
I don't know where the number came from. Is it pi that, or is that thing that looks like a table, but it's an odd thing that
yeah,
a plus sign thing?
Drawing
you're drawing
like
pi.
Picnic table of some sort.
Yeah, was it 3.1? 4-2.
What does it mean?
I don't know. It's a figure that when you multiply it by certain things, you can get something to do with the distance in a circle or the volume of a circle. Is that right?
Would that be helpful?
Or the diagram? I've never used it at all. It's been a waste of my time. I can remember who Carol were going out. You sat next to me in maths. I can remember who Jackie had her first bite at a cherry, if you get what I mean. I can remember all of that, but I can't remember anything about the signs, of course.
We didn't start until 27, 28.
Well, we just got cracking. Edwards. We didn't want to mess about. To get on with it.
You get tired of it, though. Fed up to you.
Oh, no.
So, what about your times tables? Were you up on? Could you do those?
I'm all right with my tens and my fives and my twos.
You just had the numbers then. What about your eights and sevens?
Rubbish. Rubbish at myself. Just give me...
Nine eights.
Nine eights are 63.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that right?
They're 72. What's up with you?
Is that right? 72. So, yeah. Well, I'm rubbish at my times. Well, you've got calculators now. You don't need to be thinking about that anymore, do you? No, you need to know about who's in the charts, who's going out with whom, which teacher you fancy.
What a King Edward's. Oh, God.
We had Mr. Spindler, we had Mr. Leggett. Yeah, we had all sorts of gorgeous teachers, Mr. Leggett. He was our... they were only about... When you think about it now, they're probably only about 5 years older than us, really.
Yeah, voices hadn't broken. I bet
no,
they were scared of you.
Bless them. Oh, yeah, they were terrified of us. We used to sit on the front row like that, looking at them.
I'm scared when you do it to me.
Bit of shoulder action. I know, it's terrible, really. It's not good, is it?
But it's worth going to school, isn't it? What about ZN plus HCl?
Oh, dear, what's that all about?
I think that's when you add zinc to hydrochloric acid.
I don't know why. What's it called? The periodic table.
Might be. What's that?
That's PB's lead. I remember Plum Bum were lead. PB. That's all I remember. They're just things that stuck out, you know.
Yeah, well, you've done very well considering, haven't you?
Thank you very much. I did all right at my GCSEs. Well, GCSEs. CSEs. I think I got about 8 or 9. How dare you? I didn't do too badly, actually. Thank you very much. I even passed my maths, which I didn't think I was going to do. I got a C scraped through. Yeah. Got
what was that pi r squared thing again? Just so listeners might pi want to write it down. You did say that, didn't it? Something to do with
is
circles.
It something to do with the diameter of a circle? Yeah. Pi r squared. And what's pi equal? 3.4.
Yeah, but why don't they just write that down?
I don't know. They just like to confuse children, and it's not fair. I had a dream about you last night.
What was I doing?
I had a dream that we're doing an OB from Seaside Resort, and I had to take over from you, and I didn't know what to do.
What had I done? Had I kind of collapsed?
You were fantastic. You'd done your show, and it was beautiful, and then I messed it up by taking over it.
Well, did you hear the first thing in my programme this morning?
No, what did you get up to?
You know, we're supposed to take control of somebody. There's some buttons here, aren't
yes.
Exactly 30 seconds. Before the do-break.
That's right.
You have to switch the buttons, otherwise you don't go on air.
Yeah.
Well, here am I sitting thinking, oh, what a lovely broadcaster I am, what a lovely day, forgot to do it.
Did you? Yeah. It does happen if you're not
careful. Started the programme on mistake.
Really? Yeah. Oh, but you got better as it went along, and that's all right then, isn't it? Yeah.
Have you got a programme?
Yeah, we're going to talk about tribute bands this afternoon. I bet you've never seen a tribute band.
Who have you seen then? I go to all the Beatles tribute bands.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are they good?
Yeah.
Who have you seen? What are they
called?
Well,
the ones that came to the... Well, there are several. We saw a very unconvincing lot in the south of Spain, but the ones that do it all the time, who come every year, and I have forgotten their name now, but they come to the City Hall and perform.
Yes, I think I've...
And they're really good, and they look like them, and they change causes as the evening goes on, they look even... As they get older,
and they're
they
good.
Look like them.
Yeah. And what's the point of a tribute band, do you
reckon? Because they're all dead, the Beatles, aren't they? So
well, not
if you
all,
want to hear
actually.
Them, you can't hear them.
Yeah, you're right, and you. Anyway, we're going to talk about tribute bands and... Take this... I'll talk more after
that's
one.
Brilliant.
Oh, after 2 o'clock, hot yoga, kettlebells, barefoot running, whatever makes us fit with Chris King. And then after 3 o'clock, there's a gentleman coming in called Tony Prince, and he's going to try to get us to get under the skin of Shakespeare. And we're going to want to get under the skin.
You listen to her.
Skin of Shakespeare by the end of 3 o'clock. Let me go and put my teeth in.
She's good, folks. Don't take this as an example of what she's like. What have we done today? Well, on GCSE Results Day, we've found out how some of our local teenagers got on, and we've been asking what's the most useless and random bit of information you remember yourself from your GCSE or from your O-level exams. Nothing useless, maybe a bit of randomness, in the conversations about the stories in the news today with my friends Rita and Ben, who discussed a ban on powerful vacuum cleaners and barbecue poisonings. Nigel Tomlinson told us the story of his life so far and what he learned working for big multinational companies and what it was like meeting President Obama and being shot at in the Middle East. I spoke to Nikki, who spent thousands of pounds using a surrogate mum in India to have her two children, and Nicola explained the rather complicated laws around surrogacy. We followed the Sheffield author John Foster as he tried to convince commuters to take a copy of his new novel for free. That's the end of today's chapter. Can't wait to see what'll happen tomorrow.
BBC Radio Sheffield.
I had mates that stayed on to sixth form and then went on to do things that you won't need those qualifications from sixth form.
Do you know, in 30 glorious years on the radio, I've never discussed carpet cleaning. Yeah. Do you remember that verse, 1001?
Cleans a big carpet for less than half a crown.
Do you remember?
No,
hiya, congratulations. Did you do better, worse than you thought?
Much better. I was expecting all B's and I got 5 A's, so I was absolutely delighted.
I loved them from day one. When I saw my daughter and my son, straight away I said to them, I'm your mum, and they both looked at me and it was just tears for joy. Even though I didn't carry them, they're my beautiful children and I love them to bits.
2011, I am on my way to number 5 Love Lane in Wakefield. Not for the first time, but this time is different. This will be the last time, and this time I shall not go through that demoralising entrance. Oh, I'm intrigued.
Are you intrigued?
I am. Oh, I'm gripped. I'm intrigued that it's set in Wakefield. I want to know a bit more about Love Lane. I want to know why it's a demoralising entrance.
I'm saying no, nothing much more, except to say that Alice, my producer, wishes to abuse her power by sending her greetings to Kirsten and Casey, who've done very well on GCSE Day. And I send you a kiss, Kirsten and Casey, as well.
Travel update. BBC Radio Sheffield.
It's Simon James.
So far today, still generally coping okay. No real major problems, no issues reported on the motorways. The main commuter routes all seem to be on the move, looking at the speed sensors. The trains, though, still plenty of delays. Signalling problem now at Normanton, so we could have up to a quarter of an hour's delay on the Barnsley-Leeds line. And trains further afield up to the northeast and also down to King's Cross after some knock-on delays caused by a signalling problem this morning. Still plenty of hold-ups there, too. Elsewhere, if you notice something on the roads where you are, just give me a call. That's on the Jam Dodger line. 0114 256 1212.
More travel news in 30 minutes.
Baroness Pauline Neville-Jones, a former security minister, is calling for more visible diplomacy between the rest and countries of the region.
There are various things that the government can do. I mean, particularly in cooperation with the Turkish government to disrupt the flow of people there and prevent them actually getting over the border. And I think that's now become an extremely urgent task.
South Yorkshire Fire Service dealt with more than 140 hoax calls last year, but that was the lowest number for fire services across Yorkshire. West Yorkshire Fire Service got called out to more than 300 and says each call costs around £420, using up thousands of pounds from their budget. There's been a slight rise in the proportion of GCSE entries getting A star to grade C. In maths, 62.4% of entries got at least a C, up by 4.8%. It's thought the rise is due to fewer pupils sitting the test early. English, though, saw its biggest drop in GCSE history, with 61% of people scoring a C or higher. That's down almost 2%. Paul Burrow, the assistant head teacher at Handsworth Grange Community Sports College in Sheffield, says changes to the system put pressure on both students and teachers.
It's hard to compare like for like. Is an A 2 years ago the same as an A now? And it's all those things that will be playing on pupils' minds, which is slightly unfair. What we want is just a fairness and a way of measuring that we can, you know, start a two-year course on and have it stay for 2 years without the goalpost changing halfway through.
The Crown Prosecution Service has said a number of police officers who had relationships with women while working undercover will not face criminal proceedings. At least 10 women are suing the Metropolitan Police after they became involved with the men without being told their true identities. The officers involved may still face misconduct proceedings. Police are trying to find thieves who stole lead from the roof of a Methodist church in Bolsover in northeast Derbyshire. The church on Hilltop was targeted sometime between Sunday the 10th of August and the following Tuesday. The roof was also damaged earlier in the week when there'd been another attempted theft of the church lead. An author from Sheffield has come up with a novel approach to get his novel known about. John Foster has just published his second book called A Scholar's Mate. He's given away 500 copies free of charge at the train station this morning after one of the national chains refused to stock the book because he isn't well known.
He said, there's not really much point in us stocking your book. You're not famous enough. You're not J.K. Rowling or Kate Atkinson. I pointed out that they perhaps once weren't famous. So I thought, I have to do something that makes an impact.
BBC Radio Sheffield News, now the sport with Peter Spencer.